Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to talk about the Blackhawks' last two games. They played the Ducks, shut them out. Fleury was great in that one, 3-0. And last night they played the Kraken, lost that one in a shootout, 3-2. So here we go. Against the Ducks, the biggest story of this game was the long-awaited arrival of Lucas Reichel. And I didn't think that he was going to stay up here long, but they brought him up for a couple games, and you know what? He looked good. I thought his skating ability was really impressive. He didn't seem like he was nervous to play in the NHL. He looked good defensively, and it looks like they want to bring him up for stints during the regular season. And not say 9 straight games, bring him up for 2 games here, 2 games here, 2 games here. Derek King was quoted on saying that they have a specific plan for him, and they're going to stick to the plan. So, you know, that's really good to hear. I'm glad that there's a plan for the kid. What did you think of Reichel, Matt?
Yes, I thought when I first seen him live in the AHL, he was very, very good. One of the best players out there. And when they called him up, I like that they put him in a good situation with Kaner. I think that's the type of player he needs to play with. I know he didn't get any points, but he was very effective, getting good shots. He occasionally would pass too much, but, I mean, you got Patrick Kane on the line with you. You're going to want to feed the guy. I mean, that was his hero growing up. I think he looked up to him and wanted to be like him. I'm not sure that I understand the call up if you're going to keep him up for 2 games. I'm not on board with that. I think it's a very stupid plan. I think that you got to get this kid like reps, you know, get him in there, get him on the grind of being with the team for at least 10 games to see what you got. I mean, it's either all or nothing to me. I think I would have kept him down and let him develop for the whole season and not kind of tease him with 2 games just to send him back down. Or, you know, give him his fair shot. I'm not sure I understand this from them. But, hey, I'm not in the management.
Yeah. You know, I think the idea for him is that, you know, they want to show him the speed of the NHL because it's a lot faster in the NHL than it is in the AHL. I think that the AHL has gotten much better now than it was, say, 10 years ago. It was more of like a maybe somewhat of a meathead league. But now there's a lot of skilled guys down there, but it's not the NHL. And I think that they wanted to bring him in to give him a taste of seeing what it's like. You know, the game's a lot faster. And, you know, we had some guys on COVID protocol too that probably precipitated him coming up. You know, the Blackhawks, they had a great kill in the second period that led to a goal from Hagel, set up by Gustafsson fresh out of the penalty box. That was really, really nice to see. Great pass, a great vision. And the team was, you know, they were clicking on all cylinders. To be honest with you, I'd want to say that was probably the first game that I've seen all season that all 3 periods we got a solid effort from. I would probably call them the 2-period Hawks right now, because normally they have 2 good periods and then a bad one. And it seems to be the case with them. Versus the Ducks, they gave a complete effort all 3 periods. And I thought that they were very effective. Taves was great from start to finish, taking some chances offensively and playing with a lot of emotion, it seemed. He was, to be honest with you, I noticed him all night winning faceoffs, winning some battles. He had some pretty nice passes that were noticeable. It seems that he's getting more comfortable. Maybe that he's more in the swing of the season, and his fitness is getting back on par with playing at an elite level. So we'll have to see about him. What did you see from Taves, Matt?
Yeah, I sent out a tweet saying there's something about the Ducks that just brings Taves out. Like, he just was a man on a mission. He was very emotional. I know he was getting tripped up and, you know, knocking his stick down onto the ice. And I actually said it, too bad that Ryan Kessler wasn't on the team anymore, because that brings out the best in Taves. But, yeah, man, he was all over the place. And I give Gus a lot of credit, too. I thought, actually, I've been thinking he's been playing better defensively the last couple weeks. And you know what? He's playing better defensively, and it's leading to good plays offensively. That was very smart of him to go get that puck and be patient and wait for Hagel to bury that goal. And it was just a good play by him. And I know he takes a beating by the fans. You know, I'm pretty hard on him. I don't know. I think you are at times, and it's deserving because his defensive play is just, it's kind of non-existent, but he's actually really improved, and you know, you feel comfortable with him out there now.
Yeah, I'd say the same thing. It was a lot of the same thing from, you know, against the Kraken as well, but we'll get into that in a minute before we get into Gus. I think that he's made improvement. I've noticed it over the past couple weeks. I am hard on him, but I have noticed that he has been, his defensive ability has been much better than what it was his first time around. But, you know, Riley Stillman was on a 5-game point streak going into the Ducks game. He had a point there. I thought the defense was really good, pinching in offensively when they had to keep themselves in position to make defensive plays and not allowing odd man breaks, which is huge, because when you start allowing odd man breaks, you start giving the other team more, you know, more life. You know, they're like, oh, let's keep going. It gives them, it kind of tilts the ice in their advantage in a way. And I think the defense has been playing really well. Where are you at with the D, Matt?
Yeah, it's a shame that Seth Jones is out with COVID protocol. I think he did actually end up getting cleared today, but it was too late to play. But I think that we have some good vets in McCabe. We have Murphy and Jones and DeHaan. They've been steady lately, man. And then you insert in Riley Stillman, who's found his offensive game. He's a 5-game point streak, I believe. It's very good to see. And, you know, even the guys down in Rockford, they're hungry. They want to be up here. And I'm excited for them, too, to get a shot. I know Mitchell, we've seen him. Beaudin, we've seen him. And I think our defense is coming along. And I don't really think we need to go out and, you know, get like a big free agent next year. I think we should keep developing these guys because it's working out, man. It's getting better. And I think under King, actually, they've been even better. So let's be patient with them and let them develop and stick some vets like, you know, DeHaan, you know, with a young guy. Obviously, you want McCabe and Jones to be your main unit, which I agree. It's probably should be the main unit. And we'll go from there.
You know, we were talking about this earlier, and I think that if anything, that the Hawks should probably target in the offseason is a center. And I would say a center with some offensive upside, to be honest with you. But, you know, that's, you know, getting into next season, we don't want to get through the weeds there, if you know what I mean. You know, the Hawks played physical and didn't get caught up in the physical aspects of the game, which was huge, you know, during the Ducks, because they were just hitting guys, but they weren't going out of their way to hit people. It was just part of the game, which is something that I noticed. I thought that from the first pairing to the third pairing was solid all the way down. Fleury was as solid, and he definitely earned his shutout, the 70th of his career. And I know that, you know, you kind of want to trade him so that we can get some value for him, but I would kind of like to see this team, you know, try to push for a playoff spot. And if they can't, if they don't make it, then they don't make it, you know, but I'd like to see them push for one.
Yeah, I think it's a little too late for that, but I mean, they're on a great point streak. You know, I love Fleury. He's very entertaining, very likable guy, just super awesome to watch. He's just incredible still at his age. But you know, I'd hate to see him walk for nothing next year and we don't get anything for him. Even a pick is a win. I mean, we gave up nothing for this guy. We pretty much got him for free from Vegas. So, I'd love to see him stay, only if he's going to agree to come back next year. That's just me.
Yeah, to think that we gave up Subban for him. Or who do we give up? We gave up
nobody. It was like a prospect.
I was thinking of another trade. Yeah.
You were Leonard. Leonard. We have Leonard. Right. We got Subban for, and we got gypped.
So it looks like Seth Jones was released from COVID protocol today. Dylan Strome, Kirby Duck, and Brett Connolly are still in COVID protocol. Ian Mitchell was sent back down to Rockford. Mike Hardman and Cale Morse were added to the taxi squad. Now, me and Matt were talking about Kirby earlier, and we think that it would benefit him to be sent down to the AHL to get some time down there to kind of shore up his game, strengthen his game, and then bring him back up, because I think that he's playing okay, but he's not playing up to his potential, and I don't think that he can do that until he gets some confidence, and he's not going to get that confidence until he starts playing and getting some scoring in. What do you think about Kirby, Matt?
Yeah, I actually remember a couple months ago I said maybe it's time to send him down, and even if you send him down, that might really light a spark, and he'll be really... Honestly, he's going to be bitter about it. He's going to be mad.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't blame him, but sometimes that's a good motivator. And I think that it's time. And, you know, they did it to Kurashev. It didn't last long. He stayed down there for, what, two games only? But, you know, I think it was a few more than that. He was too good to be down there. And Kirby, he could be too. But, I mean, sometimes it sends a message to the guy like, hey, your job's not safe just because you're a high-round draft pick. You got to produce. And... you know what? We need to see some production out of him.
You know, man, Kurashev, you know, he's not lighting the lamp a lot, but I think that he's creating a lot of offensive opportunities with him driving to the net, his speed, hunting down pucks. I like Kurashev, man. I would really like to see him on the score sheet a little bit more, but I don't think that looking at the score sheet, you could really see his contributions.
Yeah, he's all over. I mean, you always see him, you know, fighting hard on the boards for a puck battle. He's very noticeable out there. Even if he's not producing, he still has an effect on the game. So you just got to keep working hard and the points will come.
So last night, Hawks versus Kraken. We were really looking forward to this. You know, hopefully keep our point streak alive. I mean, our win streak alive. And unfortunately, we did not. We lost 3-2 in the shootout. And it sucks because they should have beat the Kraken. They should have beaten Arizona. But you can't expect these bottom-tier teams to lose every single game, you know, to every team that they play. I mean, Arizona the other night took the Abs to a shootout 4-3 loss. And the Kraken threw everything that they had at the Blackhawks. But you know what? We got another two-period effort out of the Blackhawks today. The first and second period were solid. And then the third period, it was just downhill from there. The Kraken tied it up. And then threw everything but the kitchen sink at us. Took it into overtime. They practically owned us in overtime. Fleury stood on his head. And then they won in the shootout, which is unfortunate. I thought that it was a hard-fought win for them, but I think that we definitely should have won that game. There isn't really anybody noticeable on that team that I would say, wow, that's a really good player. Wow, that's a really good player. I think they all have like a team of third liners and one first line center, I want to say, or one second line center, I'd want to say at best. What did you think of the game, man?
Well, I thought it was all Marc-Andre Fleury, man. He was super exciting to watch, man. He was in the zone making some highlight reel saves. There was a glove save, I think, might have been the third period or the late second period. I forget, but it was amazing.
Impressive.
And then overtime, he's standing on his head, and the team in front of him just kind of felt like they were, like, watching. They were just kind of standing still, watching the puck carriers just hold possession. And, you know, there was a couple chances where I know Fleury ended up freezing the puck. That's the time you got to get Taves out there to take a faceoff to win possession back. And they weren't. They were losing, and Seattle wanted that extra point. And they, you know what? I thought they deserved it. And I feel bad for Fleury that the Hawks couldn't get it done. There was too much watching and too much standing still in the last 5 minutes of the game. And then overtime was kind of brutal. We didn't really have any possession down in their end, maybe less than 30 seconds, and that's not enough to win.
Yeah, it was like, if anything at all, I think Kaner was out there for 2 minutes for that first shift, I want to say.
Yeah, he got stuck out there.
Yeah, he did.
That's not good. You don't want him playing defense.
I'd like to see Lankinen get a couple starts, you know, give him an opportunity to, you know, maybe shake the cobwebs or something.
Yeah, I agree with keeping Fleury in, though, during this hot streak. That's smart. You want to keep the guy with the hot hand in. And now that, you know, he did lose in a shootout, but yeah, you got to get Lincoln back in it. He's been watching for a long time, and he had to sit in COVID protocol for a while. So yeah, it's time to get him out there. Hopefully he doesn't get lit up, because it's been a long time since he's played.
Yeah, and it, you know, you kind of beg to wonder, it's like, when do you put him in? You know, do you ride Fleury for a few more starts? I mean, yesterday was Monday, and the Hawks don't play again until Friday, if I'm correct.
Yeah, a lot of practice. Yeah.
So it's a lot of practice. I mean, you know, the guy just hasn't played. I would just like to see him get more of an opportunity. So we got some NHL news for you. Canucks ended their three-game losing streak the other night. I thought that I was actually kind of surprised, because, you know, they've been so strong going for a while, and then they started stringing together some losses, but they kicked out of it pretty quick, which is, you know, they've come in to be a pretty tough team. You know, they've really turned it around. Where are you at with the Canucks, Matt?
Yeah, Bruce coming in. Nobody wanted him for 2 years, and look, he's got this team rocking and rolling. You know what? I don't know how I would feel about having Bruce on our team, but I mean, I think he won 7 or 8 in a row, and then he dropped 3 straight. But he got him back going.
Yeah.
Yeah. This team is dangerous. That division's kind of up for grabs, because the Oilers are just, something's going down with them. Don't know what it is. So it seems like that 2-3 spot is open. I think the Kings and the Kings and the Flames and the Canucks are going to have a battle to the end for it.
Yeah, I think the Kings are tied with somebody. I forgot.
Yeah, I believe it's the Flames. The Flames have been struggling, too. They ran into a hot Florida team, and then they ran into the defending champs. They lost, and even Sutter said, wow, this is where the big boys are playing down here in Florida. So, and they didn't show up, and you know, they're kind of falling back. But that Pacific Division, I think it's all for Vegas.
Yeah, I agree. The Bill Pulley, the owner of the Vegas Golden Knights, says Eichel will play in a few weeks. He's still wearing the red practice jersey, so no contact for him. But, you know, they're really looking forward to getting this kid going. So what happens, man? Who do they move? They're going to have to do something, because they've got guys on injured reserve. They've got guys that they're going to have to move now. Do you think Riley Smith is that guy who gets moved?
I've been hearing Smith. I've actually been hearing Carlson, William Carlson, who was once a 40-goal scorer, which is a guy I'd like to have on my team. I said, yeah, that's going to be tough, man. They're going to have to play a cap wizard to figure this out. But, hey, you got to get Eichel in there, because he's a generational talent and maybe the missing piece for this team to finally get to the Stanley Cup.
Vladimir Tarasenko, Braden Schenn, and Colton Parayko will return for the Blues. They returned to the Blues on Monday. They skated the last 2 days after being released from COVID protocol. You know, Vladimir Tarasenko is a really interesting, you know, subject, because he asked for a trade at the beginning of the season, and the Blues are having a really good season. But when he showed up to camp, he said that he was going to, you know, play as hard as he could for the Blues until he got that trade. Do you think that they still move him?
You know what, man? I it's kind of a good conversation to have. I honestly haven't heard anything about Tarasenko saying I still want out, or the Blues management saying, yeah, we've been looking and we can't find anybody, or something like that. I haven't heard anything. But I mean, why would he want to leave right now? He's found a good line with Jordan Kyrou. Those guys are just tearing it up right now. And the Blues are scary, man. I think they're the best team in the Central, to be honest. I'm not really impressed with Colorado. I know that they're a very good team. They have many dangerous weapons on that team. But in the playoffs, they haven't proved anyone anything. So I think the Blues are going to surprisingly come out of the Central.
If the Blues were to meet Colorado, I think that the Blues would walk out of that.
Oh, for sure. I think they'd win in 5.
Yeah.
Darcy Kemper is not going to be the goalie for him. I think Grubauer fit that team very well, but you know, they had to pick between two players, and we've said it a lot. They went with the captain, their longtime Avs guy, Landeskog, and they had to let Grubauer go. And you know what? He played decent against us tonight. I thought he was okay.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he's got no team in front of him, but I know they're real hard on the goaltending over there, but I mean, who's in front of them to help the guy?
Nobody.
Yep.
I couldn't even name him. Chris Drager was placed on COVID protocol and was not available for the Kraken versus Blackhawks game. Antoine Bubo will replace him. And TJ Oshie is out with an upper body injury he sustained versus the Islanders on Saturday. You know, TJ Oshie is starting to rack up injuries, man. I think that we're seeing the twilight of his career.
Yeah, he came in the same year as Taves, I believe. Those guys are just kind of beat up from all these playoff battles. And I'm happy for Oshie that when he went to Washington, he got his Stanley Cup with Ovi, and he was a big part of that team. And I know he's still a big part of the team now. They like him. But, yeah, injuries are – he's getting older. I think he's got to be 35-ish by now. So, yeah, they're going to start happening.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like he's becoming more injury-prone, though. You know, knock on wood, I'm not going to mention the other guy you mentioned in your sentence about injuries. But, you know, it just seems like Oshie's always out with some kind of ailment.
I think Oshie plays at a different speed than Taves.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're playing full speed and you get hit, you're going to get hurt playing that style. And you know what? I credit the guy. He plays hard. Taves can kind of slow the game down to his advantage, I feel like. He can
control
the... Like, lately, he's been controlling the puck better, especially against that Ducks game.
He was
taking chances and, you know, making some old school, like rookie, like Taves deeks around guys. And I was like, dang, this is like back to the future over here. He's back in 09 right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he hasn't done stuff like that in a long time. It was cool to see.
Yeah, it was. He's actually doing that tonight too. And actually, he probably had our only offensive opportunity in overtime because, he was trying to take it upon himself. But yeah. I mean, I think that you're right. You know, TJ Oshie is like a, I don't know, man. I wouldn't say he's like a full speed type of guy, but I think
he moves fast.
He does.
He moves that puck fast.
Yeah, he does.
And Ovi used to play that style too, but the guy's a freaking tank. So if you hit the guy, you're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know if you saw, he scored in the exact same spot is all of his 1,000 goals the other night. Just how you got to defend this guy. I mean, I honestly would put two guys on him.
I'd just put one guy right there. It's like, hey, man, just hang out right here. Right here in the circle. Just make
the other guy shoot. Yeah.
Just hang out right here in the circle and just wait for Ovi. He doesn't score from anywhere else.
Exactly.
He doesn't score from anywhere else.
That power play, you know it's going to Ovi. So if you kind of cheat a guy closer to him, make the other guy score. You know, make Backstrom and Kuznetsov make some magic.
It's not going to come from Backstrom.
I would rather face them than Ovi's 300-mile-an-hour slap shot coming at me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So the NHL All-Star rosters have been named. I'm going to name these off.
Cool.
We've got, let's see here, the Metropolitan Division. They got Sebastian Aho, Carolina, Claude Giroux, Philadelphia, Jack Hughes from New Jersey, which I'm really surprised of. Obviously, it's a fan vote. Chris Kreider, Alex Ovechkin, Adam Fox, Adam Pelich, Zach Werenski, Frederick Anderson, and Tristan Jarry.
Hmm.
Some interesting choices.
Jack Hughes, huh?
Yeah. Can you believe that?
Did Dougie Hamilton say no thanks?
Yeah, he must not have wanted to show up. He's too busy getting ready for his cup run.
I like that team. I think Adam Fox is a well-deserved All-Star.
Don't know
how I feel about Claude Giroux. I know he's up there in age. He's still a good player. But in my opinion, if Patrick Kane's not on the All-Stars, I know the divisions are different, but come on.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
I'm getting to the Central.
Okay.
So we've got the Atlantic Division, Jake Batherson, Patrice Bergeron, Jonathan Huberdeau, Dylan Larkin, who's having a fantastic season.
Yep.
Austin Matthews, Nick Suzuki, Rasmus Dahlin, Victor Hedman, Jack Campbell, and Andrei Vasilevsky. Look at that goaltending tandem right there with Campbell and Vasilevsky. It's pretty interesting.
That's a Vezina-like lineup.
It is.
Yeah.
So on the Central, we've got Kyle Connor, very well deserved. Alex DeBrincat, Kirill Kaprizov, Clayton Keller, Jordan Kyrou, much deserved, Nathan MacKinnon, Joe Pavelski, Kale McCarr, Juicy Saros, and Cam Talbot. Now, I'll tell you what, we're talking about Jack Campbell and Andre Vasilevsky. Juicy Saros is like a Terminator man in that. He's incredible.
I hope Talbot doesn't want to play. I'll just leave Saros in that.
You know, Pavelski making the team and Kaner not making it is kind of like my thing I wanted to point out.
You know what? I like Pavelski. I don't think MacKinnon should be on the All-Star team. He was the one whining about how more of his teammates should have been on the All-Star team. Kadri's having a way better season than Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, he is. He's having a better season than Pavelski is too.
Yeah, I don't like that. Kale McCarr, he's a flashy guy, very good defenseman. He's got like almost 20 goals already. He deserves it. Nathan MacKinnon, I'm not sure about. No doubt he's a very good player, but he's not scoring the goals like he was supposed to be scoring. Right. I don't know. Maybe he changed his diet to Cheetos now and more laid back. But yeah, DeBrincat, I'm glad he's there. But it's not an All-Star game without Kaner, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird seeing it, going to see it without him. So for the Pacific Division, we've got Leon Draisaitl. You know what a shocker.
He sucks.
Jordan Eberle, Johnny Gaudreau, Adrian Kempe, Connor McDavid, Timo Meier, Mark Stone, Alex Pietrangelo, John Gibson, and Thatcher Demko.
Another good goaltending tandem. I like that too.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about Timo Meier. I believe he scored 5 goals tonight.
Wow.
Or today. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's pretty incredible. He's the first Sharks player to do that. And, you know, they've had some good players come on franchise. That's amazing. 5 goals today. Timo Meier.
Wow. It's kind of weird, Martin Luther King Day. They had early basketball games, early hockey games. You know, it's like not everybody got the day off, you know?
Yeah, all the athletes were out to work today.
Yeah, they were. They brought their lunch today. So, that's all that we got for you guys tonight. You know, thank you for listening. Do us a favor. Hit subscribe if you have not. We really, really appreciate it. And we'll catch you guys on the next one. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.